Hello dear listeners, welcome to this new episode of the Partido a Partido podcast where we talk a little. It's been a week since we recorded the last podcast and Aliti has gone on to beat Valladolid 3-0 for the first time in quite a while, scoring 3 goals in the first half and then go on to put on a very good first half display against the rivals Real Madrid but couldn't hold on. And joining me to talk all on that is Kelvin. Kelvin, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm still recovering from the derby defeat, so but I've been better. Well, so Kelv, as you all know, Kelv was on the last episode and we previewed everything and to be honest, he got quite a lot spot on and well, I was on the losing end of so many things on my position. So Kelv, last week Brighton played against Leicester and Mitoma scored a wonderful goal. And It seems like everything is going on well. And then all of a sudden, I think yesterday, just have the news that Arsenal interested in Casado. And it's like he wants to go and top all of, out of nowhere. It's like, wow, we have this good ride. And then it becomes bumpy. Because at first, it was Trossard. And then, well, Ferguson covered that and we had to go. Now it's Casado. And speaking from someone who supports a club who has lost so many key players over the years, it's kind of understandable. So, Kelv, how do you think that kind of affects Brighton?
Of course, it's going to have an effect also for the fact that we've got a cup game ourselves tomorrow against Liverpool. So, but just very briefly, because we're going to speak more about Atleti, our owner's a fan, and as always, unless we get the money we want for the player will not leave. It's as simple as that.
That's fantastic, because if you guys keep on like bowing down to the top teams in the Premier League, and then you kind of see many players seeing Brighton as a kind of done more, not in a bad way, but as a stepping stone club, which isn't the best. So hopefully...
No, but it's...
Yes, go on.
I get your point about the stepping stone, but it's also, it's part of the plan. We want to attract top young players. And if we were a club like other clubs have done and stood in their way, we wouldn't be getting players like Moises because they just wouldn't come here. So it's part of it. And we've never bowed down to any of them. The way Tony Bloom operates is for a player, for a club that wants one of our players, it's just, this is the price. You either pay it or you go and look for other players. It's just that we've done so well that when we say that, the clubs that have wanted our players have gone, yeah, we'll pay it, particularly last summer for Marco Correa, who I'm sure you guys will know him from La Liga, from Eibar and from Getafe. And when he was a youngster at Barcelona. So we don't bow down. I know on the outside, we appear to do that because an offer comes in, we accept. It's not the case. We go to these clubs and say, or when they start to show interest, we go, no, this is the offer. This is what you have to pay us. This is the structure. You either give us the money we want or you can either wait 6 more months and negotiate again or the door's over there and you never come back asking for a Brighton player. And even for Graham Potter, we received a world record fee for a manager of £20 million, about €22 million.
Well, on that note, that's very good, and hopefully that doesn't do a lot of damage to Brighton season, because Caicedo and McAllister are kind of very important in the Zerbi's plan, playing as a pivot and aiding progression. So back to Aledi, and well, starting with the Valladolid game. I think Cholo kind of shocked so many people. He went for a 4-3-3 and very offensive team, a team that liked to attack. And I was quite impressed because some of the tactics in the game were just amazing. You kind of see him giving freedom, not just to Griezmann, but Lima as well, Correa. So it was quite amazing seeing that. And for the first time in a while, I think many Atleti fans were like, wow, we could just watch a game and relax, no roller coaster of emotions. And that was fantastic, and to be honest, it's been a while, and I think most Atleti fans agree that was good for the health. So, Kelv, what do you think made Cholo make this change, or what are some of the things he changed that kind of boost up the team's morale and performance?
In terms of why Cholo did what he did, I don't know. Maybe pressure from above, from the board about this is what you have to do if you want to keep your job. Maybe he's tried everything else in his mind. Maybe, right, I've done this, I've done that. it hasn't really worked. So, because of course, 4-3-3 and is a system I've rarely, if ever, maybe seen him use. We've seen him play like 4-4-2, three at the back, 4-4-1-1. But it was interesting when I saw the lineup, and I was thinking, you know, if it is a 4-4-2, who's going to play where? And then suddenly, after about 30 seconds, I realised with the positions on the pitch, this is 4-3-3. But I think it suits your players. I thought Koke was very good in that kind of in the pivot position on his own. I think it suited him. As you mentioned, Lamar was good. Llorente, I thought, was excellent. It's a shame he came off injured, but that's his best position. And I think he's one of your best players, so you need to get the best out of him. Griezmann had the freedom to go wherever he wanted, and you have to give Griezmann that freedom because he's just unbelievable at the moment. I thought Correa was good. Molina was good, pushing on from right back. And as I mentioned last week, as a team, you guys play better when Morata plays because he gives you that aerial presence, that focal point. He's always making runs. I know he had a chance. I think he was offside, but that's where the first goal comes from. It goes into Griezmann. He flicks it. Morata runs in behind. I think it's Aljamik dives in. Morata knocks it past him and puts it into the back of the net. So very, very good performance. The best I've seen Atleti play probably since the second half in the Champions League last year against Man City at the Metropolitano. So very good performance. And I'm sure you're all asking yourselves, why haven't we seen that often enough?
Well, that's the question I think all Atleti fans have, because to be honest, the post-workup form has been really good, and that's kind of shocked a lot of us. And like you said, it's really amazing because you are like, this is what we have been crying for a while now. And to be honest, I think Cholo at the moment, he has realized that this is a team who is made for attacking more and maybe defending less, given the profiles there in the squad. And I think he is doing that and he is reaping the benefits, because putting on that display against Valladolid and then going to the Bernabeu and dominating Real Madrid for 60 minutes is not easy. So hopefully he continues in this aspect. So talking about the debut day, it was quite interesting because Atleti had, in my opinion, the best first half of the season. That against Valladolid was up there, but this was really good because we were playing against Real Madrid away from home in their stadium, and we had just about 600 fans cheering us up, and it was like everything going against you. And then you have the team solid defensively, Vinicius quiet for 60 minutes, and nothing seems to be going for them. And you have Atleti recovering the ball after attacking Real Madrid's half, activating the right-hand side, which is a major source of Atleti goals. And I have some stats to really shock you, because the post World Cup have seen Atleti for the top 5 league. Atleti have the second most shot on target, and it's just United with 35 who have played 2 games more that are in first position. And for big chances created, they are in third, just behind City and Newcastle. And they in the Europe top 5 league, they have the 4th most XG generated. So this shows you the progress Cholo has been talking about. And I think maybe watching Argentina in the World Cup, kind of how they played and alternating between attack and defense and their system favoring the attacking players, I think maybe that may have influenced him, because some of the tactics Atleti employed, especially against Valladolid, was similar to that of Argentina. So the derby was nice, and Atletico are out. Basically, our season is over. That hurts, but the performances are great. Do you think these performances will continue? Because I was afraid with Llorente out due to injury, things may change a bit, but after this, I sent you a DM and you were like, yeah, he will continue. And then, because like I said about the freedom, we are seeing the attacking players rotating, moving freely in attack, which is something we have not seen for quite a while. So do you think he will maintain this team and these performances?
Well, I hope so. As you said, you guys played, from what I've seen, of course, I couldn't see the game when it was happening because it's not on TV where I am in the UK. But yeah, I mean, it was positive. As you said, you guys kind of dominated for an hour. Interesting to actually ask you about the change he made for Morata for Witsel, because that seemed to have an effect on the game. But I certainly hope so. As you said, he's probably watched Argentina and other teams at the World Cup who found a bit more of a balance, and maybe he's taken something from that. I generally believe that he's been told by people whether that's board or whether that's just even friends of him, his or whatever, to say, like, you've got to start doing this more. You've got to start attacking, being proactive, pressing higher, and also keeping the ball, when you've got it. And, you know, if you go to Madrid and play as you did for an hour, then you can do it against most teams in the world, anywhere. And I believe that because that's the quality you guys have. I know Llorente was a big loss and Depaul came into midfield, but that's the quality you have. And if you keep doing it, the players will become more used to it. Oppositions will then have to find a different way of beating Atleti. It's not a case of saying that the opposition can feel that they can dominate you, because Atleti will start dominating more opponents. So it will give more headaches to the opponents and the rivals that you play. And then that should then mean that, I know you said about the stats about chance creation, and I think you said second most shots on target. But if you keep attacking and keep creating with the attacking players you had, with when Memphis is up to speed and comes into it as well, you're definitely going to score more goals.
Yeah, that's true, because at the moment we are kind of, I think, facing what you Brighton faced when you had Potter, where you guys were underperforming. And because we have, for the big chances we have created, we have converted just 43. We have 43 in terms of converting them, and then we are not that effective in front of goal. Converted just 32% of the big chances we have created, and then we are 16 in goal score despite being at the top of creating things. So, like you said, doing it over and over, and hopefully we will get used to. And talking about, like, the tactics we have seen in the last two games, it's quite interesting because, like you said, Atleti pressing higher and higher, trying to dominate the opposition by recovering the ball. I think that's something we saw in the backs derby with Real Sociedad, which has become their norm for them, where when they attack, you have, in case of ball loss, you have them swamping like bees around you to win back the ball. And it's kind of interesting because Atleti's attack are mostly focused on the right, where you have Correa, Llorente, and you have maybe Lemar or Griezmann roaming around to go there. So that's quite interesting, because when Atleti attack, you have Renildo, who kind of provides support in midfield with Koke, and I think he's employing certain tactics like the German, I think the rest defense, which is a term which originated from the German, and the rest, to kind of, yes, we want to keep on attacking. Even if we score one, we want to keep on attacking, and that's quite fantastic. And without the ball, I think the way they defend is kind of interesting, because it's the last time I saw Atleti attack with defend with such fluidity and rotation is in the title winning season, where you have the 4-3-3 changing into the 4-5-1 and later on becoming the 5-4-1 depending on, or even 6 depending on the ball side. And that's kind of interesting. I think even when you watch the games, I think from the players' expression, you kind of see they enjoy what they are doing, and that's really, really, really a boost for Cholo, because this team is more vertical, it's more attacking, and gradually he is finding the balance. And then the issue now comes with what he said after the game, because out of nowhere, without even someone asking, you have him talking about his future and that the fact that he is going to leave one day, kind of bring that fear, and then you are like, you are onto something new, but why is he leaving? A lot of questions around that. And if I'm to draw to conclusion, I think mine is going towards the fact that, to be honest, Atleti have a good squad, but I think the board doesn't back him up quite well. Because, for example, you have just brought in Memphis Depay, and then the club is struggling in the defensive position because you have the injuries from Savic and Jimenez every season, and then you are expecting maybe we bring in a center back, and then the next player the club is linked with is Kangeli. So it kind of brings the question, how are things done around Atleti? Because this is so sketchy, and I, for one, wish we were run like you guys, but that's not the case. And it's quite painful, because I think if when Cholo will leave, that's when most of these questions we have, how are things being done, are going to come out. Because before the game, I was watching a Benitez press conference, an interview, and he was talking about the fact that when he was at Liverpool, you had what the new owners came and promised him, but it did not arrive. He went to Newcastle, he went down with them, brought them back up, Mike Ashley promised him, and then he did not fulfill all those things. I think when he's going to leave, you are going to see a lot of that coming out, because to be honest, some of the transfers have been really shady, because you have Alexi selling a world class player and then bringing in not even somebody who is top class. So, well, hopefully, and the funniest thing is not even a process, hopefully things change for the better. So talking about the derby, before the derby, there was an incident which Aliti's fan group, popularly known as Fainted, did, which was not quite correct, because I, for one, as a black, is kind of painful seeing a person of color being racially abused. I, even if it's because of rivalry, that's not accepted, and rivalry, racism has no place in football. And I would love to see La Liga do something similar to what is being done, maybe in the Premier League, a campaign to fight against racism. I think Alex Fitzpatrick of the Segunda podcast, he talked about the fact that La Liga, even though it is something that is the Spanish culture, but the football federation has to take initiative and like start the campaign, because football is the most popular sport in Spain. And imagine if they are promoting, if they are saying no to racism, that kind of takes a step further to changing things. Hopefully we see that, because we all know the popular things. Aliti will come and remove a statement criticizing the group. You have La Liga going to go remove a statement. And in the end, it's just a repeated circle, nothing being done. And the funny thing is, we have a lot of players in La Liga, and things like that may drive away players from coming to the league, because this is a league we all love, and we like to see many more players coming here. And imagine a 16-year-old who is just up to the scenes, and he's been linked with a move to Spain. He is still very young. He is a kid. And imagine him thinking about maybe they may racially abuse him and the rest, and that kind of drives him away. So, Kelv, moving on, we have to talk about the refereeing, because in the, like you said, you didn't watch, but the refereeing wasn't consistent. And you have Gil Marín putting out a statement talking about the fact that the Real Madrid kind of had an influence, but not, he didn't say like directly, but given the fact that Real Madrid has a lot of connections, and then you have a referee in that stadium, it kind of puts pressure on some of the decision making he makes, because he could have given a second yellow to Ceballos, and that could have been it. So the refereeing in Spain is quite bad, Gelf. And it seems nothing is changing. I know it's the federation who is in charge of that. What do you think needs to change? Or is it the same in other places like the Premier League and maybe in the Bundesliga and the rest?
Well, I can't speak about Bundesliga, Serie A, because I don't watch enough of their games. So it'd be unfair for me. I can speak about the Premier League, because I watch Brighton most weeks. And for me, the refereeing is just as bad in England, if not worse, than it is in Spain. That's just my personal opinion. I think there's lots of debates in Spain and about refereeing. And I actually think after the World Cup, my personal opinion is there has been improvement. I think the games are flowing more. There's less stoppages. There's been, yes, less yellow cards. Just to give a quick example, Mateo Lajos refereed, who's kind of the guy that gives out yellow cards for fun. He refereed Rayo Vallecano against Real Sociedad and didn't book a player. So, which I had to double check that after the game, even though I was watching it. I was like, hang on, he's not booked anymore. I couldn't believe it. So I do generally believe that the Federation want to make improvements. I know in last summer they got a new head of the referees. I can't remember his name, but when you've got referees, and it's like with anything, that have done what they've done for so long, and you're trying to change the culture, that can't happen overnight. It can't, because they've been used to doing things in a certain way. They've not been criticised that much, but now, because the Premier League is getting better, and we want to see, and people want to see games flow. Even though in the Premier League, just to quickly touch on them, I actually see proper fouls now not being given because the referees want the games to flow. So there needs to be a balance. You can't go the way the Premier League's directly going, because we're going to have players with broken legs soon if they don't, in my opinion, if things don't change over here. So for me, it's about finding that balance between having the game thrown, but when fouls are happening, getting the cards out when needed. Yes, there's been far too many. Before the World Cup in Spain, it was getting out of hand. I generally believe improvements are being made slowly. Going back to the Real Madrid game, as I said, I did not see the game, so I can't speak specifically about what you mentioned about whether Ceballos deserved to be sent off. But Real Madrid, Barcelona, they always have an influence in certain ways on referees, because a referee will know if I give a decision wrong, to Barca or Real. There's more made about it in the media than it is for any of the other clubs. And it's exactly the same in England, by the way. Liverpool, Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, whatever. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same. I have it most weeks as a Brighton fan. We've had two, I mean, you can see them on YouTube. We've had two of the most clearest penalties not given to us this season that you'll ever see. So yeah, I mean, as you said, the Federation need to make changes, not just on referees, but on many other things as well. As you touched on the Vinny Jr. point, changes have to be made, and hopefully they will be. All we can do is wait and see. But I generally believe that that the refereeing is getting better. Maybe not quick enough. But just have to wait and see what happens between now and the end of the season. And yeah, but I understand your feeling about when you go to places like the Bernabeu or the Camp Nou and you feel like you can't get anything. Because believe it or not, most clubs will feel that most weeks.
Well, that's, you have just said it all, because it's quite tough. Because I think Gil also mentioned the fact that it's now become something we have become used to, which should not be a case, because one of the things I think many people in sports especially is the fact that you have fairness, there's equality, but now when you have a certain opposition kind of influencing the other, the decisions in which the rules of the game are supposed to be played, it's kind of bad, because it kind of take away a little bit of that fairness. And I think we have seen that over the years, especially at the Bernabeu. You have the Osasuna game and so many more, where you have a goal being scored and a defender affecting the goalkeeper, but the goal still given. So there are so many, many more you can keep on citing. And I, for one, I think it's been the same, because even the Levante game, I think the Levante goal should have stood against Atletico, but I think the ref kind of ruled that for offside. So at times it goes for you and at times it doesn't go for you, but hopefully we see more consistency in games. And like you said, the refereeing has improved, because I think after watching Mateo Laos' shit show at the Bernabeu against Espanyol, where he was just giving out cards for fun.
Yeah.
In the Villarreal game, I think the referee there did quite a good job kind of allowing play to free flow, and hopefully we don't arrive at the case where just because we want the ball to be in play for longer, we see fouls being neglected, which was the case at the Bernabeu for Atleti, because Griezmann and Morata were kicked. I think even after the game, Cholo spoke to Soto Grania and was like, I think you have a personal problem with Morata, because in the Real Sociedad game where you officiated, he kind of made a lot of poor decisions which cost Atleti 3 points on that day. And one of them was the fact that Morata was being fouled left and right, no card. You have Rudiger charging at Griezmann when Griezmann doesn't have the ball, no card. And well, it is what it is, and we move on. So, Kelv, talking about the Copa del Rey, you had 4-4 position, I had 0-4. That's quite bad. Bad. You predicted Osasuna qualifying for the next round, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Club, and US Porton, and I went against you, and I'm at the other side of the fence. So we have quite a semi-final draw, which will be on Monday in our hands, and hopefully we can see Osasuna or Atletico Club winning that, because that would be fantastic. And Kelv, within the four teams, you know, the four teams, I want to ask, who do you think has a higher chance of winning, and among the four teams, which we would like to see make the finals?
Well, a part of me wants Real and Barca to get themselves in the semi-final, meaning that only one of them will get through to the final, and because I think Osasuna and Athletic, they deserve that. Athletic have been to the final in recent years. I think that they're two finals back to back and lost them both to Real Sociedad and Barca. So, but in terms of who do I think would win, Real and Barca are clearly favourites because of the position that they're in. Doesn't mean to say that when they play the games, because I believe the semi-final's two-legged. Am I right?
Yeah, yes.
So, and of course, that gives a slight advantage to Real and Barca, but it's only slightly because Osasuna and Athletic are very good sides and always compete well against the top sides. Osasuna played Barca just before the World Cup and, in my opinion, didn't deserve to lose. Athletic had good moments in their game at San Mamés last weekend against Madrid, but are undone by quality, but will certainly compete more. So it's going to be interesting. And I like the fact that, again, we've criticised the Federation on referees. I want to praise them for what they've done in recent years with the Copa del Rey, only having the two-legged format at the semi-final, having it one game throughout the tournament has made it much, much better. And we've seen stuff like Valencia winning it. Betis won it last year in a very, very good Copa final against Betis beat Valencia. So I think in terms of those changes that they've made to the Copa del Rey, I think they've made it a lot better.
Yes, exactly, Kelv. We have seen different winners because I think before the change, we had Barcelona just winning as if they own the Copa del Rey. Well, they really own it because they are the side with the most Copa del Rey wins 31 times, and then you have Athletic Club second. To be honest, I would like to see a Barcelona versus Athletic Club final because, in my opinion, that would be football heritage because they are the two most successful side, and that would be nice. But Osasuna winning will be great for the guys in Pamplona because that will show the progress they have had under Jaguba Arasate because Osasuna are really a fantastic team to watch in La Liga. They fight to the end. And you have them now in the semi-finals in the Copa del Rey for, I think, the first time since 2014, I think. But now that's great for them because it shows the progress of many more Spanish teams. And I think this is the first time since the format changed that we have both Real Madrid and Barcelona in the semi-finals, right?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
So, like you said, we give praise to the Federation for that because that's made the Copa del Rey more entertaining. We have many more upsets. And I think them saying the rules of playing at the stadium of the lower division teams has kind of really made it good because I think the last three seasons, Alexi has been quite humiliated and knocked out, which for the neutrals, that's fantastic because everyone loves the cup upset except it's your team.
Yeah.
Who's been knocked out. So talking about Osasuna and Jaguba Arasate, I think those who follow La Liga know about them and their success story because they have been in La Liga for quite a while. They have made the mid-table kind of theirs, and I think from there they will try to kind of climb up the table gently, steadily, and all that is thanks to their very good form at El Sadar. The season in which they came back to La Liga, they had a fantastic record at El Sadar where it wasn't easy, no defeat in like 31 games, I think, which was later on broken. And El Sadar is very, very tough ground because you have Barcelona, Real Madrid, all the top teams hate going there. And I think in general, no team likes to visit the Basque country because you know what you are going to expect. Intensity, less time on the ball, high press, a lot of aggressiveness. So it's not easy. So careful. Sadly for Athletic, they face Osasuna this weekend and it's not an easy game because Osasuna is having a very nice season and they are not far from the top of the league because you have them at 7th place and they are just basically they are 3 points off 5th place and then you have them level on point with Betis, which is the Conference League place. So a win in the Copa del Rey for them will guarantee European football. So they have two routes to Europe, which will be fantastic. And like I mentioned, Jaguba Arasate has been doing a very good job. So Kerf, please, can you tell the Athletic fans what to expect from Osasuna?
Well, as you mentioned, very, very good team. Very intense, play good football. Have a mixture. They can play out from the back and play short, but they can play longer to Kike Garcia, Budimir, or Chimiavila. Arrozate has done just an absolute incredible job, taking them from Segunda, gradually improving. They had a six-month spell where they were like, I think they were 19th at one stage in terms of the results, but I actually thought the performances in general were good. And thankfully, Osasuna, smart, well-run club, kept with Arrozate, maybe even gave him an extension at that point to his contract and believed in him, allowed him to keep the team up. And as you said, they've improved year by year. They've added quality. Moy Gomez, I think, has been an excellent signing who they bought in the summer from Villarreal. Chimi took him a while because he had a couple of really bad knee injuries, but he's back at his level. They've had Manu Sanchez for the last couple of years on loan from you guys, and he's been very, very good for them. So it's going to be a very difficult game. But I think your record at El Sadar in recent years has been very, very good. I think you won there, I think, 2-0 last year. I think Joao Felix and Luis Suarez scored, if my memory is right. So Very difficult game, one of the toughest stadiums to go to in La Liga. But because of your recent record, which is fantastic at El Sadar, which is surprising because of how good they are at home, you have every right to be confident.
Yeah, like you said, our record there is fantastic. Last season, I think Suarez scored a golazo, which is quite nice. And I always remember El Sadar for a very, very bad night. And that was the game where Aleti were trashed 3-0. And that was the season Aleti won the league in 2014, because I was like, wow, we are sweeping everybody away and we come here and these guys just humble us and send us back to earth. Hopefully that good record continues, because Aleti kind of need the points. Aleti has nothing to play for. The only thing left to play for is to qualify for Europe. And going to El Sadar is not going to be easy. Like you mentioned, they have a lot of good players. They can play short and play long. That's something Aleti has been doing recently. So it's a very, very good game. And hopefully Chimi Avila doesn't score a golazo like he is known for, because I know Gaff would like that. Hopefully he doesn't get his wish. And Kelf, I just want to ask, what do you think would be the key tactical battles in this point? Because Aleti would be without Llorente, but Aleti's right-hand side is the toughest side, and you also have Osasuna, a team who are played on the wing, crosses to their strikers like Budimi or Kiki Garcia, who are huge guys. And then their strongest side is from the left side, where I think at times Manu Sanchez play and the rest. So what do you think would be the tactical battle? The key.
Well, both teams recently have been playing 4-3-3, 4-1-4-1 out of possession, 4-5-1 out of possession. So in terms of lineups, it should be very, very similar. Probably the key tactical battle is probably when I've let you get on the ball, because as we've mentioned, Osasuna like to not just press high but be aggressive. So can Griezmann come off the left hand side and into those pockets and half spaces and get on the ball? Because if you get Griezmann on the ball, you can beat anyone because of his quality, and not just scoring goals, but his quality to make everything happen. As you said, you've been attacking mainly down the right, so it'll be interesting to see how Arrizate sets up on the left side to deal with that. But Osasuna are happy to attack wide as well, so I think we're going to see the ball wide, particularly to both sides. Full-backs, as you said, you've been attacking a lot with Molina. Osasuna like to attack with their full-backs, sometimes even sending both of them on when at home, and they'll probably try that to try and pin you back. But it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be mainly interesting to see how Arrizate copes with, because of course this Atleti will be an Atleti he hasn't really probably faced since, as you mentioned, the title season when you guys were playing more of a free at the back system, so that's different from this system. So it'll be interesting. But Arrizate will, I'm sure he'll have an idea to deal with it. Most of them work. Yeah, and I get the feeling because both teams will play similar and the tactical ideas will be similar, I think both benches could be key, and how Arrizate and Simeone uses them, that could be the difference.
Well, Kelf, thank you for the analysis, and hopefully Cholo substitutions are right this time, because his subs cost us in the Copa del Rey, even though he had good intentions. So hopefully this time it goes for us if it comes to that. So, Kelv, one last thing. Aleti this season they have not been disciplined, because you have red cards costing them a lot of games. Mm-hmm. You have savage red card in the game against Barcelona. You also have that in the derby, in the Copa del Rey. They have not really been disciplined. And I think this was the case last season. And Sam Leverage wrote an article on that saying, without Koke on the pitch, the players kind of lose their head. And you have a lot of players at Aleti who are really, really rash. You have Savage. So you have Llorente at times. You have Jimenez even, who has not played a lot of games. But I think he just received a four game ban from FIFA for his overreaction to the ref at the World Cup, where I think a little bit he reacted for bad officiating in the game against, I think, Ghana. So it's really been bad, because this is costing Aleti. Also have Rulon in the game against Almeria. So do you think this is a team, or it is something that Aleti, maybe the players are just kind of, it's due to the frustration of maybe not seeing games off or not winning games or you think this is something with Atleti playing very better recently is going to kind of reduce?
I agree. I think if Simeone keeps with this, because the players certainly seemed happier against Valladolid than they certainly seemed, from what you said, happier for an hour against Real Madrid, probably up until the Morata change for Witsel. I think the frustration. Yeah, I think you'd think that if they're happier in the way they're playing, then they will be less rash. They won't make, in some cases, silly challenges, particularly when Savic got into that fight, if you like, with Ferran Torres. I mean, you were on top of Barcelona. You were the better side at that point, and then you shoot yourselves in the foot and get a silly red card. And you've done it in other seasons as well. It's not just this season. So I think some of it's linked to frustration, and there's probably other factors as well. As you said, maybe not seeing things from the referee, probably an anger sometimes that other players maybe would get away with that, but the Atleti players maybe feel when we do it, it's a second yellow or a red or a straight red or whatever. So, I mean, we'll have to see it if Cholo keeps playing this way, which I'm a neutral, I certainly hope he does. And then hopefully we'll be able to see over the next few weeks if the yellows and reds decline. And then Cholo might realise, well, hang on, they're happier playing the way that we're playing. And it also means that they're not being rash, they're not making silly decisions, they're not panicking, because I think there's a lot of panic in Atleti's defence. When oppositions attack, you can see it. They don't really want to, at times, engage. They just back off, wait for a long shot and hope Oblak saves. And hope Oblak saves it. So, but they seem happier in the way that they're playing. So, in theory, it should be the case that they will be a bit more calmer, a bit more patient. And hopefully that will lead to less yellows and reds for you guys.
Well, hopefully, Kelf. Hopefully the players' heads will be in the game against Osasuna, and then they put the derby defeat behind them, because I know that's quite painful, because I think all Atleti fans felt that one. So, Kelf, it's been nice having you on the podcast to give us a rundown on Atleti and La Liga. So, thanks having you on the podcast, and hopefully we see you more on the podcast, because this is the second week in a row, because we had to have you on this podcast, given you proved me wrong for your prediction in the Copa del Rey, because I was kind of hoping, yes, I'm having Kelf for the next podcast, so that he came here and he said that Atleti are going to lose, and then I'll be like, oh, one in your face. But well, that wasn't the case. So nice having you here. Hopefully, Kelf, things are good for you and Brighton this weekend against Liverpool. That's tomorrow. That's the fourth round of the FA Cup. You guys progress, because you guys are doing a fantastic job. And like I said last time, you guys are like the kind of good team for everybody to watch at the moment. So, Kelf, I'm still hoping I hope you didn't forget to put in the word for Atleti signing McAllister.
If it comes to it, I will.
Hopefully, I'm counting on that when it comes to it. So, guys, remember, no hard, no cut, no cut, never stop believing, and see you next time.